Christ the King, that's a lot jazzier name for this Sunday than the alternative, which is the last Sunday after Pentecost. Whatever we call it, we mark it celebrating Christ the King with white vestments and the altar dressed in white, and all of that as we do for major celebrations. But whatever we call it, the theme of this day is Christ the King. Evident from the outset with a collect in which we pray for the restoration of all things under the reign of the King of Kings. The language of monarchy strikes an odd note, I think, on American ears. I remember once in San Miguel, the then rector, it was before my time there, said something about, we don't know much about kings and queens these days, and a Canadian member of the parish gave him what for after that, saying some of us know very well. But here, it's a little strange to our ears, but we do get it. This is about the primacy of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. It's another reminder, and we need as many as we can get, that we are not ultimately in charge of things. We get to play a large role in how things go in the world. That's sometimes good news, sometimes bad. But a simple backward glance at our own lives is usually sufficient to confirm the fact that we do not have the last word in how our plans turn out. Even our best laid plans, as Bobby Burns would say. Strikes me that God's kingship or dominion is not the only point being made in the collect and in this day. In looking at a website from the church in New Zealand, I came across a comparison of today's collect that we just heard with a prayer for mission in daily morning prayer. Those who say morning prayer every day or nearly every day, and I probably fall in the latter category, are familiar with this prayer for mission. Oh God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So that's this prayer for mission, from morning prayer. In his commentary on the American Prayer Book, Marion Hatchett notes that this prayer for mission was written by George Edward Lynch Cotton, what better Anglican name than that, missionary bishop of Calcutta, India, from 1850 to 1866. It was included for the first time in the 1892 Book of Common Prayer in this original form. It's the same prayer I just told you, but here's the way it sounded at first. O God, who hast made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and didst send thy blessed Son to preach peace to them that are afar off and to them that are nigh. Grant that all the peoples of this land may feel after thee and find thee and hasten, O Heavenly Father, the fulfillment of thy promise to pour out thy spirit upon all flesh through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you hear those wonderful, it's good that we don't still read solely from the King James Version of the Bible or from the 1549 prayer book, but those are stirring phrases. I mean, that language is moving, I think. I especially love from afar off and those are nigh. But all of this points to the other theme today, besides the kingship of Jesus, it's also the restoration of God's loving creation as God made it. That biblical account of the fall in the Garden of Eden is an attempt to explain why we humans have such difficulty in living in peace with each other. It's rather puzzling, to say the least. We have such a hard time just leaving each other alone, in the best sense of that phrase. Instead, we seem hell-bent. I thought about that phrase before I used it. Hell-bent on trying to get what someone else has, or trying to hold on to what's ours when somebody else needs it more than we do. We seem driven by fear and envy, pride and greed. That's the source of the wailing, I think, the results of that in the reading from Revelation this morning. The recognition that we are so driven by this lust for power and possession that we have treated each other, the other tribes, in the language of today's text, those with whom we share one blood, in the shameful way portrayed in that apocalyptic scene. The point is not that we should feel awful. That kind of guilt can quickly become an end in itself, breast beating, and a distraction from both our mission as God's children and the good news we celebrate today. Pilate, a big shot in a backwater of the Roman Empire, big fish in small pond, recognized that he couldn't change this human trait, this intolerance of one tribe for members of another. And in fact, he was dealing with a quarrel within one tribe. So these were sub-tribes among the Jews. That's why it's so misleading to read what I just read to you. And for fear of the Jews, everybody around Jesus, all of Jesus' followers at this point, were Jews. So it's unfortunate that that language found its way into the gospel, for fear of the Jews. But we're talking about here infighting within sub-tribes of one tribe. At least he had convinced himself, Pilate had, that he couldn't do anything about it. So he told the clamoring crowd right after this interview with Jesus that we've just read about, "You take care of this. I'll wash my hands of the whole affair." As if that were possible. Here we are still reading about it 2,000 years later. What a strange kind of king this is, he must have thought. For he was someone keenly aware of kings and their doings. King of the truth? What's that? He even asked the question directly of Jesus right after what we've just read. The question is barely off stage in this reading from John, the very next verse. What is truth? Well, there we go. Or more accurately, here we go again. Those first words of the collect, in which we pray for God to restore all things. What things? The prayer for mission tells us the basic truth, the original state God intends to restore. You have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth. Not one kind of blood here, another there, according to the worth of this person or that group, but one blood coursing through all our veins. Focusing on Christ the King this morning is saying, when it's all said and done, because this church year is now all said and done, we're all God's children, all brothers and sisters. We pause and reflect on that truth and its implications for how we live our lives as individuals and as members of this one global, beyond global family, as members of each other, submitting ourselves to the loving creator of us all, the creator of all things. And then, because we still need reminding, even after the journey of this entire year, particularly this year, we begin again next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent, trusting in this loving, God and Creator, who has made us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.